Well, I want to give a testimony, a praise report. 2 weeks ago, my niece Rebecca and I were sent from here to go to Colorado. We were going out there for a family get-together. And Pastor Harvey prayed over us as Paul and Silas, and we were going on a mission. And when I get around my family, it's very stressful, very dysfunctional. But I really felt the peace of God, and I believe that that was because we were prayed for. If we had not had that prayer covering, we would not have had that peace. There were a couple incidences. I've been reading this book called Master Potter, and one of the statements in the book was, "Are you willing to say what I tell you to say, no matter what people think, no matter how they treat you, they may think you're crazy, are you willing to do that?" And I had an opportunity because there were some things that happened and a couple of my brothers kind of had some issues. And as we were taking three of my brothers back to the airport, I was just really praying for my one brother. And I wrote this note to him and I said, "I don't know what happened last night, but you guys need to forgive each other. You need to forgive each other and you need to forgive yourselves." And I started to write, and the old Jesus is pursuing you. And I thought, oh no, he's going to think I'm nuts. He's going to think I am crazy. He's going to get mad at me. He's going to, you know, oh, what are you, oh, you're just a Jesus freak. What's wrong with you? And so, but I remembered what I had read, and that, am I willing to do what Jesus said? That thought came from Jesus. That wasn't me. So I wrote that, and I said, Jesus is pursuing you. He is the only way. You need to get to him. I gave that to him when we parted. I said, this is for you. You need to read this. And I left my number and I told him, if you need to talk or if you need to pray, you call me. He called me that night. He was driving back to his house. And he explained to me what had happened the night before in some detail. But what he said is that he was in some distress. And two guys came up to him and they said, hey, buddy, you need some help. And my brother was kind of concerned because he was concerned that maybe these people could hurt him, rob from him, even probably kill him. But he said, yes, I need some help. Are you going to help me? And they said, this is what we're here for. Jesus sent us. When he told his wife what had happened and how everything had transpired, she said, well, you know who sent them, don't you? Jesus sent them to you. My comment to him was the third confirmation that Jesus is after him. What would have happened if I had not written that? If I had been afraid of what he was going to do? That was one incident. So then, and then this, do you know when things happen in your family? People are kind of down on themselves and they're worried. And you know, Rebecca and I, we were just praying. And we were just praying that they would be able to work things out. And my sister-in-law kind of got her feelings hurt, and she was kind of mad at, I don't know who she was mad at, but she didn't want to be with us the next day. And so Rebecca was texting her and, you know, what's going on? And she said, my sister-in-law just said, I just need some time. I just need some time. And so Rebecca and I started to pray. And I sent my sister-in-law a text and I said, hey, you know, call me. So 2 hours went by and we're sitting in there, we prayed and we're just kind of chilling, and my sister-in-law calls me, and she starts telling me a little bit, and I was able to minister to her, tell her where, you know, that she needed Jesus. I said, hey, you know, tell me about when you were saved. And she kind of said, well, I've been in church all my life. I said, I know that, but when were you saved? When did you really take Jesus on as your Savior? And she said, well, I don't know. Maybe I really didn't. I said, maybe you didn't. I said, what you need to do, and we talked some more, and I said, I gave her the verses, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10:9-10. I said, I want you to read those, and I want you to meditate on those, and I want you to, when we come to see you at 3 o'clock, I want to know what God says to you about that. So she did, and she said to me when we got there, she kind of explained some more, but she said, God has told her that she has been disobedient, that she has not followed what he told her to do, that she's given into fear, and as long as she is given into those spirits, she will not walk into what God wants for her. And I said, that is awesome. And I told her, I gave her some more verses when we got back, and I also told her, because she's one of the persons that doesn't believe you need to be in church, and I understand that because I was one of those people, But I told her that it's not about the building, it's about the people. And you're in a place in your life where you really need support. And I said, so please, prayerfully consider searching for a church right now. Make it a Bible-believing church. I said, not that you have to jump right in, because she's been hurt. And she's been wounded by church people. People who have, you know, said one thing and done another. And I said, so not that you have to jump right in, but begin the legwork. Start looking and praying about, where do you want me to go, God? And when he tells you, then you go. And I told her that my brother's salvation depends on her. God trusted her with him. And if she doesn't get where she's supposed to be, he might not get where he needs to be. And so it was an awesome trip. Jesus really used the two of us. And I just wanted to share that because we were sent from this church. And so everybody here, whether you prayed for us that night or not, has a part. Because you intercede and you support this whole ministry with just being here and praying and laying down your lives. And I just wanted to share that to encourage you to step out and do what God's asking you to do.
This week has been challenging for me. I was struggling with a lot of stuff. And one of them is trying to find a place to live. And every apartment complex that I went to turned me down because of my credit issues and my foreclosures and stuff like that I've just recently gone through. And if they did accept me, the deposit was sometimes three times the amount of the monthly rent or even more than I would even be able to come up with. And I called Pastor Glenn and Roxanne and asked them to pray. And I went and looked at a duplex that they recommended me to look at. And the lady there wanted to rent to me, but she said that she had been burned by other renters and left her in such a mess. But she prayed with me before I left that I would find a place. And the lady that I'm staying with went out the very first day looking for an apartment and got one. And I was just so devastated. I couldn't understand how she could just go out and get an apartment, and I've been looking for weeks and couldn't find anything. And I finally just said, okay, God, I can't do this. I'm not looking anymore. And there's one more place that might accept me. I'm just going to go, and if that's where you want me, they'll accept me. And I called Glenn and Roxanne again, and they prayed with me again. And I went in there kind of not expecting anything. And I told the girl, this is my last hope. I'll fill out your application, but I'm not so sure I'm going to get this apartment. She said, fill it out and wait here. And she came back and she said, I got good news. We have an apartment for you. And not only do we have an apartment for you, but I'm giving you a discount. So for the month of June, we pay $99. And we move in on Memorial Day. Jackie and I have a place to go. And I didn't do it in my flesh. God did that for me. And then a couple hours later, Jackie and I were driving along, and she needs a couple pieces of furniture for her apartment when she goes back to college, and she's been praying for a table with a bench and two chairs. And we went past a garage sale, and I asked her if she wanted to stop, and she said, I don't know, but there's a table there. And so I turned around, and the lady had $50 on it, and I said, that's too much, Jackie, we can't pay that. And I started to walk away, and the lady said, well, what about 25? I'll take 25. And then she said, what's going on with you? Are you starting over? And I got to talk to her for a few minutes. She handed me back $5 and said, take the table for 20. So Jackie has the table set she's been asking the Lord for. So God is good.
said and done, and everyone's gone. Lord, you're really all I want. The best the world has just leaves me feeling numb. Lord, you're really all I want. All that I long for, all that I hope for, just that sense of you coming near me. So that my heart is hungry to have just one more touch of loving hand. When all is said and done, Lord, you're all. All is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. All is said and done, everyone's gone, Lord, you're all I best the world has just leaves me feeling numb. Lord, you're really all I want. All that I long for, all that I hope for, it's just that sense of you coming near me. And all that my heart is hungry to have is just one more touch of your loving hand. All is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. All is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. All that I long for, all that I hope for, is just that sense of you coming near me. And all that my heart is that you have is just one more touch of your loving hand. All is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. All is said and done, Lord, you're all. All is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. All is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. I want. we want, Lord, is you. Lord, we want, is you. Open up your skies of mercy. Rain down, Lord, your cleansing blood. Healing water, rise around us. Hear our cries, Lord. Let them rise, your kindness, Lord. Leads us to repentance. It's your favor, Lord. It's our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes me stand in silence. It's your love. It's your love. It's better than life. We can feel mercy for me. You are turning our hearts back again. Hear our praises, rise to Him. Draw us near, Lord. Lead us here in your kindness, Lord. Leads us to repentance. It's your favor, Lord. It's our desire. It's your kindness, Lord. Makes me stand in silence. It's your love. It's your love. It's better than life. Better than life. So open up your skies of mercy. Rain down, Lord, your cleansing blood. Healing waters rise around. Hear our cries, Lord. Let them rise in your kindness, Lord. Leads us to repentance. With your favor, Lord. It's our desire. With your beauty, Lord. Makes me stand silent. It's your love. Your love is better than life. It's better than life. Your love. Better than life. sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great, greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be great. I give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great. Greatly to be great, I give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great, greatly to.
Regret is that there's not more people in here, and I don't want you to go get anybody. I just want to tell you how cool this is to have church people like you. Do you know how cool this church is? Do you know how cool it is for so many people to be embracing repentance? You know how cool it is to hear people, he's up here singing, "All I Want Is You." I mean, if you've been in church for years, have you ever, had people love you in your sin? I mean, people praying for you and not criticizing and condemning and judging, and people just lifting you up, and I just can't even tell you. I'm not kidding you. It's like I said earlier today, Lord, if you want to beat me up, I'm ready to go. It's like I feel like this is like, and he's told me, Herb, this is, you know, there's so much more coming, but I'm just telling you, I've been saved 35 years, and I've been in church, you know, 34 of those years, and I kept going, God. this don't look anything like the Bible, you know? And I just love this. I just, watching God, watching each one of you grow in God, trusting God, depending on God, loving God, praising God in the midst of problems, just praying for one another, letting God do what He wants when you don't want to let Him do what He wants. I have never been in a church like this. I just can't even. I'm telling you, I'm like, I just want to tell you, thank you. I know it. No, but, you know, folks, I'm just telling you, we're just getting started. I mean, I'm just telling you. Somebody said recently, I've been listening for 6 years and I'm just now getting it. And I'm going, I'm so glad you're getting it. You know, it's like, I've been glad you're getting it. If it took 6 years, it's okay. But you're getting it. I'm just telling you. I can't even tell you how cool this is. I can't even tell you. Glenn was sitting behind me and he said, you were doing the happy dance all over the place. I see it in you. And I'm like, I'm about to bust. I just am like so full of joy. I can't even tell you. Hungry little birds after Jesus. Dude, it's like, I mean, people just live in Jesus. I've been waiting for this. I mean, think about it. You've been in church. Any of you have been in church for years? You ever seen anything like this? I mean, honestly.
great, my King. You are great. You are great. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. No one like you, my King. You are great.
So an hour or two before the service, I was just like, all right, God, what do you want to do tonight? And, man, we lost some good testimonies, Patty going out there and all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is great. This has, like, nothing to do with, like, I get to say, like, the down, like, everybody's so happy, and I'm not condemning anybody tonight. Don't worry about that. I was like, all right, sweet God. Like, maybe it's not for a night. And he's like, you can't do it here when it's not going to flow. If you're not going to let me cut in right now, then when are you going to? And I was like, sweet. So, yeah. But Sue preached, like, the happy half of my message. And then I get to preach the rest. So, what were you saying, Harvey? What is everybody? They were...
Y'all were
Louder?
Hello?
Alright, I am not. Okay. Yeah, just Sue was talking about pretty much just getting from one place to the next, how we do it in God, and we can't do anything, which is, I'm so glad God gave her that, because it goes like the precursor to this. But reading through Jonah the last 2, 3, 4 days, and I was like, alright God, I'm going to find some good things about Jonah. I'm going to find some good things about him. Some good things about Jonah. And I didn't find a whole lot. there was some good things, and I was like, I thought God wanted me to share this on Friday, and I'm like, I was just like, no, and God beforehand told me something else. I was like, okay. So I was like, all right, whatever. So I was praying about 4 o'clock, and I just turned back to Jonah, and just started reading from chapter 1. And I was like, oh, that's what you're trying to say. But Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of his father, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And God just like blasted me like straight up, and I was like, whoa, I didn't see that. And I'll give you the short version. But Let's read a few more verses. Let's just do this. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And that's as far as I got, and God just whacked me. So, so I'm like, all right, God, so I read it again. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and God said that Jonah is the American church, is the Christianity that we have built our foundation on. That Jonah is a symbolism of what we are right now in the church in America. Verse 2, God commands, arise and go. And I said, God, why didn't you just tell him to go? And God said, not just go, but arise. God said it's a wake-up call for us. He's not telling us just to go, but we need to wake up and realize what's going on in our country, in our community, in this church. Man, it's warm in here. So I said, sweet God, what's next? And God said, we are not ready as we are. And just like Sue was talking, there's nothing we can do. It's just like, God, I can't go from here. I don't know what to do. You have to do it. I can do nothing. God said, we are not ready as we are. We need a revelation of His sovereignty and His love, which are one and the same. Sovereignty, but I meant His severity. My bad on that one. It's like that didn't even sound right. His severity and His love. And they're one and the same. Why is He severe in so many ways? It's because He loves us. And it flips a lot back and forth. There's no way you can split the two in the middle. And God said we need to realize the urgency of the hour. And I am not dissing on anybody or any leaders or anything like that. This place is awesome, but there is... God wants to take us deeper, amen?
Oh, yes.
Chapter 3, verse 15. Then I came to them of captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt there by the river Shebar. And I sat there where I sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. God, man, you've been really just giving me the stuff that you got to chew on, just really like not happy at all lately. I'm like, all right, whatever. And Lord said, the urgency of the hour, it's twofold. There's one, it's the urgency of the hour to preach God, and the second part is the hour and the urgency to truly know God, the people of God that know Him need a true relationship foundation with Him. And the Lord keeps telling me over and over and over, and I was talking to Hannah on the way here. She said, what God show you? And I said, I'm not better than you, I'm not a judge. We're all in different places, and like I'm God starting to give me a grasp of this, but we need to, this whole foundation thing we're talking about, like religion and idolatry is so rooted into our very beings as a church, in America. And we're just starting to turn up a few of these seeds and realizing what they are. And it's so much deeper of the pride of everything that we're building our lives on. And I was like, oh, all right, God, so let's get rid of that crap, you know? out of the washer. So I probably could have shared a little bit. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 13. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And God just paralleled the whole Jonah to us here at Burning Bush, and I felt like not so much that we've run from God, but in so many ways we have, just by not obeying and not coming into what He has. I felt like God said, like, He's sending that storm right now to shake up everything in our lives. I think, obviously, we've been talking about just in America, things are being shaken up. But I think it's a personal, on every level, God is shaking things up. See really where, you know, we can have roots go down deep, but if they're in the wrong soil, if they're in the wrong thing, it's just not going to last. The fruit is very ugly. And I was sharing this on Friday, and God just over and over, just God, like, we're always saying, you know, God, search my heart, you know, try my every thought. Harvey's always saying, and it is so true, we have to pray that every day. I felt like God said, like, here's part two. I was like, alright. Ephesians 1:16-18, Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What did he pray? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that's like 20 weeks of sermons right there, but I just want to... Verse 17, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Just saying, God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing you for who you really are. God, search me and show me those things that aren't of you. But God, give me wisdom and revelation on what is you.